I'm going to call us to order at 7:05 and I'm going to read the following. This meeting is being held remotely as an alternate means of public access pursuant to an order issued by the governor of Massachusetts dated March 12, 2020, suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. You are hereby advised that this meeting and all communications during this meeting will be recorded by the town of Hingham in accordance with the open meeting law. If any participant wishes to record this meeting, please notify the chair at the start of the meeting in accordance with Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 20F, so that the chair may inform all other participants of said recording. Is anyone on the line tonight that would like to record the meeting? Great, seeing none. Mary, there's some discussion. I know we're not ready to vote the minutes of May 19. Are we ready to vote the minutes of May 14?
I'm ready on 14 and 19, not on 22.
Okay. Joe, are you ready on 14 and 19?
Correct, I am.
Okay. I would accept a motion for approval of the minutes.
I move to accept the minutes of May 14th and of May 19th, 2020.
Second.
All those in favor, Joe?
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
Karen? Aye. Okay. Now we turn to the COVID update.
Sure. So thank you very much, Karen. Just want to confirm you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll start with the COVID-19 cases update. As of June 1st, the Department of Public Health began reporting both confirmed and probable COVID-19 cases and deaths. This change is in accordance with guidance from the CDC to include probable COVID-19 cases and deaths in data collection and reporting efforts. This change will increase the number of cases and deaths reported in Massachusetts. Starting June 1st, the newly reported totals are a result of a retrospective review of probable cases and deaths dating back to March 1st, 2020. Probable cases are individuals who have not been tested by the standard viral or molecular test. They have either, one, had a positive antibody test and either had COVID-19 symptoms or were likely to be exposed to a positive case, or two, did not have an antibody test but had COVID-19 symptoms and were known to be exposed to a positive case. Probable cases are also include individuals whose death certificate listed COVID-19 as a cause of death but who were not tested. As of today, DPH is reporting 101,163 cases in Massachusetts, of which 8,228 are in Plymouth County. As of last Wednesday, DPH was reporting 254 COVID-19 cases in the town of Hingham. The number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients has been slowly decreasing since April 21st, according to DPH data. The percent of people testing positive for COVID-19 cases continues to decline as well. Please remember to follow the state's Safer at Home advisory and only leave home for healthcare, permitted work, shopping, and outdoor activities. Frequent hand washing and social distancing remain critical, and face coverings are still required when you can't maintain 6 feet of distance from others in public. Some state guidance that's been released. State guidance on summer camps and youth serving programs were released yesterday. We are working through it as a community, and we'll have more to report next week. On June 1st, the governor issued COVID-19 order number 35, which allows for preparation of certain businesses for phase two reopening. Included in the order for phase two preparation is outdoor restaurant dining service. The governor's order authorizes the town to approve expanded outdoor table service at restaurants subject to state and local public health and safety restrictions. The order relaxes both liquor license and zoning regulations and gives authority to the Board of Selectmen as the local licensing authority to approve expanded outdoor table service areas. Prior to the approval of outdoor table service areas, the order requires that the Board of Selectmen establish the process for approving such requests. I have established a restaurant reopening working group consisting of town staff and town council to, one, recommend the approval process for the board's review and adoption as required by the order, two, create a uniform and efficient application process for outdoor table service approvals And three, make recommendations to the Board of Selectmen in connection with such applications. The goal of the working group is to facilitate the reopening of Hingham restaurants in accordance with the governor's reopening plan in a manner that is consistent with the health and safety of the public, including social distancing, fire code, and safety in areas such as sidewalks and parking areas. The working group is made up of staff from the Selectman's office and our health, building, land use and development, police, and fire departments. We will create a separate email address that will be shared with the restaurants in Hingham for submission of applications and questions. A recommended process will be provided to the Selectmen for review as soon as possible, and a preliminary communication will be sent to all restaurant owners by the end of the week to explain the process we are working through. Regarding town meeting, we continue to work with the town moderator and various departments on plans for this year's outdoor town meeting at the Hingham High School multipurpose field. General guidelines are as follows. Please bring your own face covering. All town meeting attendees and staff must wear a face covering for the entire town meeting, including while waiting in line to register, unless exempted by Governor Baker's order number 31. Face coverings must cover each attendee's nose and mouth and fit snugly against the side of the face. We encourage attendees to wear sunscreen and bring their own water, hats, and/or personal umbrellas for shade. All attendees will be seated 10 feet apart. Hand sanitizing stations will be available throughout the venue. Microphones will be sanitized after each use. Restrooms will be cleaned and sanitized as needed. A cooling station will be available near the restrooms. Water stations will be available throughout the venue. And please do not attend town meeting if you are feeling ill or are experiencing any COVID-19 symptoms such as a fever, 100.3 degrees and above, a cough, shortness of breath, or a sore throat. If you have had close contact with an individual diagnosed with COVID-19. Close contact means living in the same household as a person who has tested positive for COVID-19, caring for a person who has tested positive for COVID-19, being within 6 feet of a person who has tested positive for COVID-19 for 15 minutes or more, or coming in direct contact with secretions, example given sharing utensils, being coughed on, etc., from a person who has tested positive for COVID-19 while that person was symptomatic, or if you have been asked to self-isolate or quarantine by your doctor or a local public health official. We will post an outdoor town meeting framework on our website tomorrow, and we encourage citizens to read that document for more details about how this year's town meeting will work. I would also like, if you don't mind, I'd like to take this opportunity to quickly read through a statement from our Chief of Police, Glenn Olson, regarding the recent death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Chief Olson and the men and women of the Hingham Police Department, along with the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and forces across the country, condemn the actions of the four Minneapolis police officers that resulted in the senseless and tragic death of George Floyd. As officers, we also share the feelings of the everyday person. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Floyd family. We are all shocked and upset by the actions of the Minneapolis police officers. Those actions are in direct conflict with the rules, values, and training Hingham police officers live by. We cannot allow actions like this to go unpunished. The Hingham Police Department's mission is to protect the safety of our community. We remain committed to doing so without prejudice or the use of unnecessary force. We stand in solidarity with the citizens of Hingham and will continue to work with the community as partners and treat all citizens with dignity and respect. That's from Police Chief Olson of the Hingham Police Department. I think Michelle has a summary for what's been happening elsewhere in town hall or town government.
Great, thank you, Tom. Michelle?
Thank you, Tom and Karen. So first, for our office, two updates. First is, yesterday, our office received word that the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection approved the water supply business plan for the Weir River water system without conditions. This is a huge milestone in the water system transition process, and it represents a massive team effort by town staff, elected officials and volunteers, town council, and our consultants. The second update is, with the help of the finance branch of our COVID-19 incident management team, we submitted our first round application for COVID-19 related reimbursements under the CARES Act to Plymouth County in the amount of $60,000. Many thanks to Sue Nickerson, Heidi Gall, and Sharon Perfetti, who are on this call, for their work to track and document all of our COVID-19 related expenses since March. From the town clerk's office, our town clerk, Eileen McCracken, wants to remind everyone about alternative voting options for this year's town election on June 27, 2020, to minimize the risk of COVID-19. Applications for both absentee ballots and early voting ballots are available for download on the town website. You can also request a ballot in writing or by email to the town clerk. Completed absentee ballot and early voting ballot applications must include your signature and can be emailed to townclerk@hingham-ma.gov, mailed to the town clerk at 210 Central Street, Hingham, Mass. 02043, or dropped off in the drop box at the end of the town hall driveway. Residents who complete these applications will receive a ballot by mail and must return that ballot to the town clerk by June 27th. This year, there will be no in-person early voting, but there will still be in-person voting on Election Day itself, which is June 27th. We would like to remind Linden Pond residents that their precinct has been moved, so anyone at Linden Ponds who wishes to vote in person may go to the middle school for this town election. From our information technology department, in addition to our health department, our IT department has probably been one of the busiest during this time. Steve Becker and his small but very capable team were responsible for helping employees across our organization set up and troubleshoot issues with their work laptops, desktops, and printers from home. They've responded to over 500 help desk calls and requests since we began working remotely, and that's on top of quickly learning the Zoom platform and assisting staff and boards with Zoom requests each week. The IT team continues to support our COVID-19 incident management team, coordinate COVID-19 updates and messaging for our website and social media pages, troubleshoot issues with our phone system, and work with Harbor Media and an outside vendor to complete upgrades to the audiovisual equipment in the Selectman's meeting room at Town Hall. And then finally, from our conservation department, although you haven't seen them in the office, Lonnie Fournier and our conservation team have been hard at work over the last few months, advising homeowners, real estate agents, contractors, permit holders, and others on conservation regulations, policies, properties, and projects. Staff have been accepting new applications, conducting site inspections, corresponding with applicants and representatives, and preparing memos for the Conservation Commission, which has been meeting regularly via Zoom. They continue to respond to potential violations and to monitor conservation properties for downed trees, trash, signage maintenance, and other issues. They also reviewed applications and issued permits for turkey hunting season, which ended on May 27th. That's all I had tonight. Thank you.
Well, you finished strong, I must say.
The turkey.
I have a lot of questions on that, but I'll turn to Joe first. Joe, any questions for Tom and Michelle?
I do. Well, first, just saying thank you to Tom and Michelle for all their effort, as well as the staff at large. I know you've been working around the clock, so thank you. Specifically, with respect to town meeting, the inquiries that I've received, I just wanted to make sure that the answers are out there in the public domain. First, will the temperatures be taken of residents when they show up for town meeting?
So in consultation with our health staff, it's been determined that taking temperatures is not a reliable indicator of a problem. So the answer is no. Instead, we're asking people to make sure that they're healthy coming in, and then to make sure that when they're there, they stay socially distant while wearing a mask. We're cleaning all surfaces, all touch surfaces, as best we can to avoid the potential risk as best we can of the disease while people are inside.
How far apart would residents be sitting when they come to town meeting?
10 feet.
So it's well beyond the 6 feet.
That's right.
Okay. And I know the answer to this, but I just want to make sure we're all clear. Will remote participation be allowed in town meeting?
No.
Thank you. I did have some comments with respect to the vigil this evening, but I think that's really a separate category. I'm going to hold that off until the end. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Mary, any questions for Tom or Michelle?
One question. And before I do that, just to follow up on Joe's question with respect to remote participation, I just want to make sure that the public understands that remote participation is not an option of that Hingham is able to take advantage of because of our open meeting form of government. So we don't have the ability to do remote participation, even if we wanted to. Tom and Michelle, I've gotten a few questions from people who have asked if there will be any who are concerned about sunlight and heat, and whether there will be any areas where people who, you know, need to get out of the sun would be able to do that. I've also received some questions about restroom facilities, particularly for those who might have some accessibility concerns.
Yes, thank you, Mary. So the heat question is, yes, there will be cooling areas. If you're familiar with the field, in the back corner of the field area is a concession area stand. The concession stand itself will be closed, but those bathrooms will be fully operational, and they are ADA compliant. The shaded area over the concession, what would normally be the concession stand, will obviously be available for people to get out of the sun. And that area will be augmented with both a cooling mist system as well as additional tent coverings to allow people to escape the sun for a period of time as needed. And what was your other question? I'm sorry.
Just a restroom access for those who for those who have accessibility concerns.
Yep, that'll be at the. I'm sorry, Mary.
Oh, just I think the question I got was sort of, getting from one seat to the restroom and perhaps having to use a wheelchair across the field. Whether a wheelchair can move effectively on that surface, or whether there's any sort of boards or anything that need to be put down so that anyone in a wheelchair can get to the restroom if they need to.
I see. Yes, I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. Yes, there will be staff available, volunteers available for moving people via wheelchair across the field. Wheelchairs can roll on that surface. So we don't need to have special boards down, but there will be volunteers to help people get from where they are to where they need to go.
And Tom, thank you. Let me just follow up on that. So is there going to be an area where we might direct people that have accessibility issues so that they're near facilities like that?
Sure. So we could absolutely do that. So we're hoping to line the backfield area with several tent structures so that people who want to continue to participate in the meeting and get a quick break from the sun, they can do so. Obviously, you can't just stay there the whole meeting because everybody would be crowded under it. So we're going to have some areas in that like that around the back. And then in the corners, away from the stair on the opposite side from the dais where the moderator sits will be a series of porta potties on one side and the cooling station / ADA compliant bathrooms on the other. So that we could absolutely situate people who would need to be there in that corner area where there'll be plenty of seating.
Okay. And there'll be somebody, and I think we're going to spend some time covering this with Harbor Media, but as people arrive, we will be able to direct people that have particular concerns to potentially seats that best serve them.
Absolutely, and we're going to have a lot of staff there. We'll have the CERT team will be activated to assist with getting people water and others. There'll be other volunteers that'll be clearly marked using wearing red shirts, Hingham red, with this white staff printed on the back to easily identify them. To help people get where they need to go.
Okay, great. Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Questions from the public for Tom or Michelle with respect to the COVID-19 update and the update on town services? Okay, seeing none, I will move to public comment for items not on the agenda this evening. Actually, I had one question before we move on, and that was with respect to the restaurants. I've been getting some questions from restaurant owners about the ability to use the tunnel cap. I see Susan Murphy's on the call. Whether we're considering street closures, you know, what can we do, I think, and you know, I don't need a definitive answer on this. I guess what I'm looking for is some energy to think outside the box with respect to how we can promote, particularly the restaurants in the downtown square area. You know, I think, and I'm wondering too, up at Derby Street, whether there's some possibility to take up some parking spaces on a temporary basis to be able to allow, you know, greater footprint for outdoor dining. So is that going to be, and again, I need a full-blown
Before Susan gives you a more detailed answer, Karen, I will let you know that I've instructed the reopening team to try to think outside the box in ways to be creative and helpful to the business community as much as the law allows for. That report obviously will be coming to, during the week and reported out next week. But Susan, to the extent you can answer.
Yep, sure. So I've been working with the members of the working group that Tom has assembled in order to try to implement the governor's order and also deal with the public health and safety. Some of the restaurant owners and landlords have been very proactive. For example, the owners of the Derby Shops have already been in touch with Susan Sarney and the police chief and have conceptual plans for retail pickup areas, potential seating areas. They're already on that, actively underway. There are starting requests from the shipyard. Tenants are just starting to come in. So we're asking those tenants to get us in touch with Samuels, who's their landlord as well, so we can coordinate both with the tenants and their landlords. And there have been, I think at this point, Square Cafe is the first restaurant from downtown Hingham who has made inquiries and in fact has already put in an application for some potential sidewalk seating. So there was discussion today on a call with the working group on how to work in the downtown. That's going to be the tightest area because the sidewalks are not wide enough in most areas, and looking at the tunnel cap. So one of the tasks of the working group is going to be looking at the GIS for the downtown and identifying where the restaurants are in the downtown and where their potential seating areas can be. So that is actively underway. We're trying to move at a very quick pace because we're anticipating the governor may allow this outdoor seating to start as early as Monday, but it's going to be subject to an approval process. So we're trying to move that to get draft approval process to the Board of Selectmen, if at all possible, by the end of this week, so that you can look at it over the weekend. So that's what we're aiming for. And every email that's coming in, they're all going to other departments. So we're consolidating all those emails within the working group, and that's why we're asking IT to set up a specific email address. I don't want to give it yet because we have to have it confirmed by the IT department, but there will be a specific email address that every restaurant can email to make sure they're getting to the right people. Yeah. So that's in the works, like 24/7, we're working on that right now this week.
Okay. And again, I appreciate the sort of creativity around this because I think that, you know, I think that's what it's going to take, that sort of energy and thinking and collaboration to, you know, to bring some economic relief, particularly to the square. Like you said, I think that's probably the more challenging area overall. Other places have, I think, footprints that maybe are, you know, more workable. But thank you for that. And you reminded me, my other comment was just around the IT group. I mean, when Michelle said they've done over 500 help calls, I was like, oh dear God in heaven. Because if it's anything like when I'm on the other end of one of those help calls, it's just, you can't pay those people enough for that. So I really think that, I know everybody across the organization has stepped up, but you know, the backbone of this really is our ability to work remotely. And so I really appreciate Steve Becker and his group providing that sort of support for all of us. So thank you. And I'm really excited to, I'm excited to hear about this reopening plan. And it sounds like you've got the right people around the table, as well as, you know, sort of the right policy people around the table to make this go smoothly. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment for items not on the agenda. Anybody care to make a public comment? Mr. Buckley, did I see your hand?
Yes.
I recognize you.
I just had a quick question for the board. I started a petition online to have the Pride flag flown at the Hingham Town Hall, and it has 3,600 signatures, and I was wondering if any way that could be possible.
I'll say a couple things. One is it's difficult to respond to a question in a sort of fulsome way when it comes up during public comment. I'm not trying to duck your question, and I appreciate the effort you've gone to garner the support of 3,600 folks on your petition. The issue that we run into is one of open meeting law, where if we're going to get into a big back and forth on this, we need to have it posted so that anybody who might have been interested on either side of the issue has an opportunity to, you know, be present at our meeting. What I will say is the board has been talking with legal counsel over the last couple of weeks anyway to determine the sort of the risks and policies that might need to be in place and would accompany a public display of other than the sort of statutorily mandated flags, which include the flag of the United States and as well as the flag of the Commonwealth. We have flown a handful of flags from time to time, other than those two flags, or in addition to those two flags, that are directly related to war veterans, as well as a flag that commemorates the Peace Officer Memorial Day, which occurred just a couple weeks ago, which memorializes police officers who have been killed in the line of duty. Other than that, we have not flown, and we do not have a policy with respect to flying flags, again, other than veterans flags and the flags statutorily required of the town. So I think, and I, you know, Joe and Mary, feel free to jump in here. We posted today for a meeting on Thursday where we would take up a proclamation endorsing and celebrating Gay Pride Month and the efforts of the Hingham Pride Project. I think that's what we're prepared to do. Joe or Mary, did you care to make a comment?
I think you've covered it, Karen.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for being here tonight. Further comments from the public on for items not on the agenda? Okay, do we have appointments tonight?
I don't believe so.
Nope.
No appointments, I'm sorry, Karen.
Okay, Selectman and Town Administrator reports. Michelle?
Nothing further from me, thank you.
Tom?
No, nothing further, thank you.
Joe?
Yes, I did want to comment on the vigil this evening. I expect that Mary will also speak about it. I know that, you know, following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, we've witnessed protests, demonstrations, and violence. I was recently in Philadelphia for a funeral, and I witnessed firsthand the looting and damage that occurred in the city of brotherly love. I wanted to express support for those who demonstrate peacefully in Hingham and elsewhere, and I would join with them in their condemnation of racism. I want to express my faith, and I believe our collective faith, in our local police department. But I know that it takes more than faith to assure all residents that we will remain a peaceful town. It takes vigilance, and I want to make public my pledge of vigilance as a selectman and as a citizen of Hingham. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Mary.
A couple things. First of all, I just wanted to note the recent passing of two Hingham citizens from COVID-19. Emmett Jackson passed away on May 22nd, 2020. He was a Navy veteran, and he and his wife Norma were married for 65 years, and they moved to Hingham 2 years into their marriage. They lived in the town for 63 years. They raised their family here. Emmett served on the planning board. He served on the advisory committee. He was the chairman of the board of trustees at the Hingham Congregational Church and a corporator for the Hingham Institute for Savings. Florette Jackson, mother of town employee Horatio Hemmings, also lost a courageous battle with COVID-19 recently. Florette was a teacher, a nurse, a sister, a friend, and the pillar of her family. She spent her life taking care of others in large and small ways. And on behalf of the entire town, I'd like to extend our condolences to the family and friends of both Mr. Jackson and Ms. Jensen, and to all who have lost loved ones to this pandemic. On a brighter note, I would like to offer congratulations on behalf of the board and the town to members of the Hingham High School class of 2020. I think it's important that we note the academic, athletic, and civic contributions of members of this class because they're really significant. Over the past several weeks, parents and local businesses have come up with very creative ways to recognize and celebrate the significant accomplishments of this class, and we appreciate that as well. And lastly, as Joe mentioned, I actually just attended the Hingham Candlelight Vigil to stand in support of Black lives in memory of George Floyd and all Black lives that have been lost to systemic racial injustice in our country. I want to express our appreciation to the Hingham Unity Council, to St. John's, and the Hingham Police Department for creating a safe venue for, I don't know how many people were here, but it was an awful lot. It was a peaceful, moving, appropriate demonstration. Social distancing was practiced the entire time. It was safe, it was orderly, it was meaningful. And I know that after the last couple of days, and I know the events have shaken us all, after attending that event, I have a peace that I haven't had in the last few days. So I'm very glad to have been here. And I was very glad, Karen and Joe, to represent you, because I know that both of you, share the sentiments that Joe expressed earlier. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mary. I have one business announcement, and I'd like to make some remarks as well. My one business announcement is on behalf of the board, I voted in favor of the Hingham Education Association contract, the teacher's contract with the town and school committee. That contract process, both sides indicated, was fair and equitable. I think it went about as smoothly as it could. It was interrupted midstream by stay-at-home orders, and the negotiating team from the school committee and the negotiating team for the teachers here in Hingham met remotely and were able to work through some complexities in the contract that I think will serve both the faculty and the town well moving forward. Kind of three basic points. One is, there were a number of statutory and regulatory updates to the existing collective bargaining agreement. This agreement will be in place from August of 2023, and it includes a 2% pay increase, which is comparable and aligns with the municipal side collective bargaining agreements. The other point I'd just like to stress is how impressed I was that the teachers and the negotiating team for the school committee came together as quickly as they could because they are all busy focused on remote learning planning to finish out this school year, and then we'll immediately begin planning for the fall. School will start in August next academic year. And, you know, to get this behind them and to be able to focus on the education of our students, I think is a gift to the town. So I appreciate both sides coming together and getting this done, again, fairly and equitably. And then, like all of you, you know, I've been thinking.
Excuse me, Karen?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to go to a Zoom memorial service, so I need to sign off unless there's business that you need me to attend to here.
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you. I apologize.
Thank you.
Good night, Joe.
Good night.
I just wanted to offer my own thoughts on, I think, where we find ourselves tonight. And importantly, as Mary suggested, the night of the vigil sponsored by the Hingham Unity Council in support of Black Lives. Like many of you, I suspect, I feel like I've been caught up in an emotional whirlwind. I'm enraged, I'm deeply shaken, and I'm profoundly sad. I think about the long and arduous road towards civil rights endured by our Black brothers and sisters and embodied in the 50-year-old Civil Rights Act, and it seems like a mirage to me. I'm sick over the tragic murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd, but sicker still in my core and in my heart that these killings follow so many others that caused us outrage, that yielded to complacency, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and all the way back to Rodney King. For the sake of our shared humanity, we must find a better way forward. Constructive and engaging, active and ardent voices of change. As Desmond Tutu said, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. We can be neutral no longer, and it can start here in our town, and it can start tonight. So with that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor, Mary?
Aye.
Karen? Aye.